This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Tuesday, October 30th, 2012. With the election now only 1 week away, nearly a quarter of Colorado voters have already cast their ballots. Early in-person voting ends on Friday. Bente Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The Colorado Secretary of State's office says the GOP has the lead so far. 20,000 more Republicans have turned in ballots compared to Democrats. Unaffiliated voters lag behind both political parties by about 100,000 votes. But Secretary of State spokesman Rich Coolidge says it's much too early to tell how those figures will ultimately shake out.
This could change. It could grow further. We just don't know. It's really up to the voters.
About 80% of early voters this election have voted by mail. Coolidge says it's increasingly popular.
This year in particular, we're seeing a lot more of the political campaigns, especially the presidential campaigns, encourage people to request a mail ballot or encourage people to vote early.
Voting early protects against unforeseen circumstances and disasters, such as Hurricane Sandy. It's not clear how the aftermath of the storm could impact voters along the East Coast. Several states have closed in-person early voting sites, and others don't have early voting. I'm Bente Berkland at the state capitol.
This election season, some political opinions are being boldly expressed around the North Fork Valley. Yard signs read, "Stop the War on Coal, Fire Obama." KVNF News intern Azure Eller went onto the streets of Paonia with Allie Lightfoot last week and asked people if they felt Obama was killing the coal industry.
Do you have any opinions about whether or not Obama's killing the coal industry?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you think so?
Pretty much.
What has he done that you feel is...
Over-regulating the power plants. So you can't sell coal if your power plants are over-regulated. And they're burning cleaner than a lot of other stuff that I see out there. So
I don't think he's killing the coal industry. I think the energy industry is going to continue no matter what. And I think it's a good thing that we protect the environment while we're exploiting all these resources.
I don't like Obama whatsoever. I don't trust him for one second. I think he's lied to the public. I think that he's just a deceiver. And as far as the coal, yeah, I think he's hurting the coal industry.
Can you tell us how?
Well, a lot with just regulations and his statement when he became president. He said that there'll be coal, but we'll pay for it. So I think he is against coal. I think he's basically out to destroy the United States of America.
I think he's killing coal.
Why do you think that?
Because he doesn't like coal mining.
He's against the coal miners, I think he is.
I won't lie, though. I'm not following the politics much.
Yeah.
You know, I got other stuff, but
yeah,
I'm against it. So my dad's a coal miner. Been a coal miner for 20-some years, and I know he's against him, so must be a reason.
Yeah.
I'm too busy to follow it up.
I know he's not trying to kill it. I think he's just trying to regulate it. You know, I know that there are people who are disappointed in the way that it's going, but coal is going to be around because we need it.
Area coal miners demonstrated the anti-Obama message on a rainy afternoon a few weeks ago. KVNF's Arianna Brocious took a look at the economic realities behind the, quote, war on coal rhetoric.
At a meeting of the Delta County Economic Development Group last week, the talk of coal's future was dire. Weston Norris of Arch Coal's West Elk Mine used graphics to illustrate his point.
Each red dot on this map is a coal-fired power plant that's planned to be closed down. Coal's getting hit from all sides.
By the end of the year, U.S. coal production will be down about 10%, partly due to the recession and last year's warm winter, which resulted in less demand from power plants. Steve Wiest of Oxbow's Elk Creek Mine says there's another reason, too.
I think there's a significant war on coal that has been put into place by the current administration, allowing the EPA to put unreasonable regulations on coal-fired power plants, which directly affects the coal mines.
The coal industry is hurting. One recent report indicates that roughly 10% of the nation's coal plants plan to retire by 2016. But it's not all because of the Environmental Protection Agency or President Obama, says Carbondale-based energy analyst Randy Udall.
The coal industry's been under a lot of pressure, and they're looking for a scapegoat. But the Obama administration has not been the main source of most of their ills. If John McCain had been elected 4 years ago, coal production would still be down.
The regulations the coal industry is most concerned about were put in motion in 1990 when George Bush was president, and Congress passed amendments to the Clean Air Act that were aimed at reducing emissions of hazardous air pollutants. Since then, the EPA has been working on a new set of regulations for major pollution sources, like coal-fired power plants, to reduce emissions like mercury and other air toxics known to cause cancer, birth defects, and other serious illnesses. It's just that those rules are being finalized and going into effect under Obama's presidency. Udall says that the updated regulations can be difficult for plants to accommodate, but many of the nation's coal-fired power plants are coming to the end of their natural lives anyway.
The average coal-fired power plant in the U.S. is about 35 or 40 years old, and we're beginning now just sort of natural attrition is sending many of those coal plants to the grave, essentially. They're being decommissioned. The EPA is probably hastening this process a little bit with its new regulations, but power plants don't last forever.
Udall says there are far bigger economic factors at play, largely the historically low price and recent abundance of natural gas.
In some respects, the greatest threat to a coal miner's job is the natural gas industry and their continued production of surprisingly large volumes of inexpensive natural gas.
This means that utility companies have been shifting their energy generation away from coal to natural gas and taking the opportunity to shut down some of their old coal plants they can't afford to retrofit. Jim Van Summeren is a spokesman for Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association, which provides wholesale power to 44 rural electric co-ops in the western U.S. Van Summeren says Tri-State continues to pursue a diverse mix of energy generation, including acquiring a new natural gas power plant last year, but they don't anticipate closing any of their coal-fired power plants anytime soon.
We'll continue to count on our coal-based generation for most of our base load, 24-hour a day demand from our member co-ops.
But Van Summeren says Tri-State doesn't support the new regulations. The co-op filed a legal challenge to the EPA over the new mercury and air toxics rule in April, saying it's unlawful under the Clean Air Act and will significantly increase electricity costs. The EPA says the new rules will not adversely affect power companies' ability to provide electricity to the country, and existing polluters will have up to 4 years to comply with the new rules. However, the EPA has also proposed rules for new coal-fired power plants, which Van Summeren says would be difficult and expensive for utilities.
It potentially could have the effect of taking coal off the table as a future resource, which is unfortunate because coal remains one of our most abundant, affordable domestic resources.
Xcel Energy, another utility in Colorado, recently built a new state-of-the-art coal-fired power plant in Pueblo that meets the EPA's new constraints and cost around $1.3 billion. And while Xcel spokesman Gabriel Romero says coal as an energy source isn't going anywhere, the new plant might be one of the last coal-fired ones to ever be built. As a way to reduce carbon dioxide emissions and pollution on Colorado's Front Range, the utility has been in the process of converting several of its coal-fired power plants to natural gas.
The main reason why coal plants are not being constructed is because natural gas is just extremely inexpensive at the moment. It's much easier to comply with EPA standards, and that's the bottom line.
But there is an inherent irony in all of this anti-regulatory rhetoric. The fact that emissions regulations on eastern power plants are what drive the demand for North Fork Valley coal in the first place, because their low sulfur variety is needed to mix with the dirtier eastern coal. Though he acknowledges this, Steve Wiest of Oxbow says that politically, his mind is made up.
I think if Obama gets reelected, I mean, we'll see at least 4 more years of what we've seen so far with the EPA feeling free to put whatever regulations they want. And once they get the coal industry shut down, I think then they'll go after the natural gas industry and do the same thing to them.
It's not all bleak for the coal industry. Despite natural gas's current low cost, once the price rises again, probably in a year or two, coal's affordability and reliability will once again make it the dominant power source. The question is, for how long? For KVNF News, I'm Ariana Brocious.
Yesterday, Garfield County commissioners formally committed $1 million towards what's being called a first-of-its-kind study of air pollution near oil and gas operations. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the action came during a meeting at which commissioners also expressed concern over a proposal by SG Interests to route truck traffic through Glenwood Springs in connection with a well it proposes to drill near Sunlight Mountain Resort. The $1.8 million three-year study led by Colorado State University is intended to better characterize how emissions disperse near drilling, hydraulic fracturing, and flowback operations in the county. County Manager Andrew Gorgi said the county is making a substantial investment in a study that could have national and, in his words, arguably international importance. The county will pay for its portion of costs from its oil and gas mitigation fund, which was created from federal mineral leasing proceeds. The energy industry has committed $800,000 to the study. Also Monday, commissioners disagreed with reported plans by SG Interests to run drilling traffic up Four-Mile Road to access a newly proposed well. KVNF has previously reported on this proposed well and will bring you more as the story develops. And finally, the Wetmore fire is fully contained at 2,000 acres. The fire destroyed 15 homes near the small town of Wetmore, west of Pueblo. Recent snowfall helped firefighters get the upper hand. Meanwhile, the Fern Lake fire in Rocky Mountain National Park is holding steady at 1,000 acres and 17% containment. The Montrose Daily Press reports the cause of both fires is under investigation. This concludes the morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.